Final hour on this Tuesday afternoon. Hope everybody's had a great day so far. Darren McFarland, Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason with you. Hal Gill, affectionately known as Skillsy. Skillsy, I'm sitting here watching the World Championships, you know, the Worlds, as they say, and I know you participated in that. I'm just going to say this. I think you guys are crazy. Like, you always talk about the long grind of a hockey season, like mentally and physically, and you want to wrap up that long grind and jump right back on the ice over in Europe and start playing again? I think you're crazy to do that.
Well, you know what? We were all young and dumb once, and I did that five times.
Oh, my gosh.
I will say, you know what? When I was a young kid, it was like the NHL was a lot of hard work. It was like it's intense every night. And going over there playing on the big sheet against Denmark and just having some fun playing hockey and then playing Japan. And then, you know, like the first 2 weeks were just like kind of fun. You just go out with a bunch of new guys and have some fun. And then you have, you know, the quarterfinals and semifinals, finals, and you wrap it up. And so the last 3 days are the only games that are super intense. But I think it's development-wise, it's huge for these guys to go over and play and bring back the game, you know, reinvent their game, so to speak. You know, over the year, it just gets hard. You fall into a role, and you're stuck in a role. So you go and play those, you get a little bit of a fresh look at your game. I think it's important for guys to do that.
Interesting.
And it's
so
fun.
You enjoyed it. So did you enjoy just because, like, I think this year it's what, in Finland? I mean, just going overseas and just different atmosphere. You said the bigger ice, but was it just getting away and playing the game you love, but somewhere totally different than, you know, in the States or North America?
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. Like a different city, different cities and throughout Europe. It's amazing. Yeah, it's fun. Go, you know, we were in Germany and Cologne, and we were going exploring by day, and then the next day we'd have a game, and you go somewhere else and take in something, sit, you know, kind of, and then, you know, it's 2 weeks where you're over there by yourself, and then all the wives and girlfriends come over, and then that's when everything, you know, the watchdogs are there, so you can't have any more fun, so you have to go play hockey.
Is Germany where you discovered beer, Hal? Or where did you discover beer?
That was at Providence College. That's where I discovered beer.
Yeah, most of us did.
I'll tell you, you know what? The best thing after that tournament is your summer starts. See, like, I always took 2 weeks off of doing anything, and there's no way to start your summer better than, well, I'm already over here in Europe. I might as well go to the Greek islands, float around for a little bit, or go, you know, Paris, or London, whatever. You can start a good summer when you're already over there. So that was a hidden bonus.
Take us through the mindset of Philip Forsberg right now. Like, the season is over, and now the biggest decision of his life is about to happen, right? Or his career. How about that? The biggest decision in his career is staring him. He's staring down that barrel right now. So he's got basically in the next 2 months, and who knows when this is all going to play out, but what do you think's going through his mindset sitting in that chair right now thinking about it?
Well, yeah, it's tough, and I can't totally relate to it other than when I had been an unrestricted, I guess I could relate to it. You know, I wanted to sign a deal in Pittsburgh the year after, it's 2009. We won the cup, and I'm like, they're going to re-sign me. They only wanted to do 1 year. And so I was like, should I just sign 1 year, or should I wait and try to get a 2-year deal or a 3-year deal? Who knows what I could get on the open market? I eventually went on the open market and signed in Montreal, but I think for Phil, there's a lot of money staring at him wherever he's looking. It's just a matter of, you know, there's a lot of things that I don't know, you know, and you need a good agent. A good agent is going to help you through and a good agent is going to give you the heads up on how everything is going to play out. If you have a bad agent who's steering you the wrong way, and I don't know about Phil, it really is about trust and saying, okay, you're going to get this. So don't, you know, if you want this, this is going to be the difference. And if you get a good idea of what your comparables are or what you're going to make, I've seen it go both ways, though, so it is scary. And I'd be honest, I would be scared if I was Phil. You know, you have a big scoop of ice cream sitting right in front of you on a summer day, and it's melting, and you want to jump in on it and take it, but you also know there's, you know, maybe there's a big vat of ice cream on the other side. You just have to wait for it. It's a tough thing he's going through, I'm sure, but you know, in the end, he's healthy and he's going to get paid. It's just, he's in the driver's seat right now. He can go out. I don't think Phil Forsberg is going to be hurting for money for the next foreseeable future. I think it's just a matter of where he wants to be.
Well, I could really relate to that example. Thank you for using that.
Man. You would have ate ice cream.
I was getting excited. I was really getting excited. Wait a minute, there's a vat of ice cream on the other side? What?
Can I get a boat?
No, that's the whole hard part, right? Is, you know, it's the temptation is right there, and maybe that's the best ice cream. Maybe there is no ice cream on the other side. Maybe it's less ice cream. You don't know. Scary.
Yeah, you don't want that. Hell, the guys and I were discussing earlier about what is plan B for the Predators if indeed they can't get a deal worked out. Is plan B, hey, listen, do we come up in the number? Is that the plan B, to come up on what we're giving them, or to throw in a no trade clause, or is plan B just go a totally different direction?
Well, I'm assuming that the Preds have a big board, and they are saying these are who's going to be available, and these are the guys we want. Now, I wouldn't necessarily, you know, say you're talking, you know, you want to give Phil $8 million, he doesn't take it. I'm just throwing numbers out there. Don't yell at me and say he's worth more than that, whatever it is. Now, don't forget, you can go out and get a $5 million player and a $2 million player for $1 million off the cap, you know, so they could be looking at different options. So it's not just they need another $8 million guy. You can split that up. You can make, you know, you can, hey, maybe they have a trade in the future where they're going to move one guy and they can bring in some new blood. I think they have a game plan now. In the end, they're going to see how much they love that game plan before they make their final offer for Phil, and they say, okay, that's what it's worth to us, and we can go get these two guys or these three guys, or this one guy we really like is going to be on the market, and we want to get him. The salary cap has put all these teams in a position where, you know, you can only spend so much, and so how you divide it out is their decision, and maybe Phil isn't in that plan, but maybe he is at the right number. And so I think they finally come down to their last number, and then, you know, now they have that money freed up, and okay, what are we going to do with it now? And I think I'm sure they have a game plan. David Poile it will be tedious breaking down who is available and who we can get. He's going to try to research where they think they would want to go, because that's another unknown, you know.
I think we got a zap.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure what happened.
Skillsy.
Oh, he got totally zapped.
Got a zap.
I thought it was a temporary zap.
That did not sound good.
Was Phil agent listening? Zap him off. There's no plan B.
I didn't hear rain or anything. I don't think he was in a thunderstorm, but he got zapped.
Oh, man. Can we?
We'll see if we can reconnect. I don't know if maybe his battery's dead or he's just in a bad area or what, but we'll try to reconnect with Hal Gill on the other side as you listen to the DDC, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
So let's take a break. We'll try to get Hal back. We got Zap. So Max, let's we'll try to recover with Hal, and we'll. Oh, we got Hal back.
You got me back.
Okay, sorry, we zapped
did
you.
Did I say something? Did I upset you?
It was not something you said. I promise you, it was technology just not behaving with us here. But okay, so let's. I want to ask you before we let you go on the next round, because I think all of us are trying to get a perspective. What is the gap? And can the Predators close it between themselves and the team that just eliminated them in Colorado? You've also got St. Louis, a powerful team. Same day, Minnesota just had their end of the year press conference. They got a lot of big question marks. The Zach Parise and Ryan Suter contracts are now, the bill is due to Bill Guerin. No pun intended there. But how do you see that series coming up between St. Louis and Colorado?
I'm interested to see it. First of all, it drives me crazy when people, you know, say, "Oh, they lost another round in the playoffs." Like, the playoff series can go either way. You know, like I'm laughing. You know, look at coaches get fired, and they put in you go into a playoff, and there's so many things that can happen. You look at the Preds. There's a couple calls that go a different way. They win game two in overtime. And that's a different series, and maybe the tide turns. There's so many things that go into a series, so it's tough to make huge judgments. But from what I saw from Colorado, it's going to be tough to beat them. They're good. They're real good. And so St. Louis going through a huge battle with Minnesota, like I know they're more exhausted than Colorado was, that's for sure. And so I don't know if they're going to be able to compete with them. I just think the high-end skill, if you want to wear that team down, you have to get to six or seven games. You're not going to be able to wear Colorado down early. They got too much firepower and they're too fast. So that's going to be the goal for St. Louis, is to slow those guys down. Can they do it? Can they, you know, and I think it would have been different for the Preds. If they got that overtime winner in game two, I think they would have gone to a game five where they could have beaten them up a little bit and slowed those guys down. But I think Colorado is going to come out hot. I just don't see St. Louis, as well as they play, as fast a game as they play in a five-man unit, the elite speed that Colorado has is going to be tough to stop.
I think we're all curious on that one. So, Hal, leave us with this. You have been in a lot of situations. Let's just take a couple of the teams you played for. Minnesota now. Former teammate of yours, Bill Guerin, a friend of yours, he loaded up. He went for it. They lose in the first round. That's six straight years they've lost in the first round. But like you were just saying, does that mean that he did it wrong? Like, well, how do you explain that? They're playing against a really good team and they lose. Toronto, we don't even have to talk about what they've been through, right? Have they done everything wrong? What are they supposed to do going forward here? Pittsburgh, another team. They've won one playoff series since they beat the Predators in 2017, which is the same amount of playoff series that the Predators have won. So these things, it is tough to win every year. So how do you try to resolve when you try to do everything right and the plan falls short?
That's the problem, is good teams lose in the first round. And you might have a bad team that found a way to win. I think you have to be objective. You can't make, and the Preds are taking their time on this press conference. They want to sit back and look at it. They don't want to come out and make rush statements because, we should have won that series. You know, everyone thinks they should have won the first round, and it's not easy to do. And I always go back to the example. I was with Montreal in 2011. We played against Boston. We lost in game seven in overtime, and the Boston Bruins, we were up 2-0 in that series, and they were talking, Cam Neely's going to get fired, Don Sweeney's going to get fired, they're going to overhaul the whole team, and then the Bruins won in game seven against us, went on to win the Stanley Cup, and I hear people tell me all the time that that was the best team that the Bruins have ever put together. And it's such a fine line.
It really is.
Wait a second. You were going to fire. It was in the news. Everyone was fired. Everyone. but that was the best team that ever went out there. And so I understand the knee-jerk reactions. I think Billy Guerin put together a great team, right? And everyone I talked to, yeah, man, he did. He got all the pieces for a good playoff run. And if they won, who knows? They might have gone on to win the Cup. They might match up better against Colorado than I think St. Louis does. But they're not going to get that chance. So, you know, I just think you really have to look at each team and say, okay, did we do the right things, even though it didn't work out? And I think that's the tough balancing act. And there's going to be certain aspects of the game. We need to be bigger on defense. We need to be more mobile on defense. We need second line scoring. We need top end talent to come out. You know, you can break it down, but in the end, I think you have to be objective and just know that good teams are going to lose. And you know, it's not always fair, right? That's my old saying. Like, you know, life sucks. Go wear a helmet. You know, like that's the way it goes sometimes.
On the way out, Hal, since you're a Boston guy, Bergeron says he's either coming back or he's retiring. 10 seconds. Does he retire or come back? Your opinion. What do you think?
I've watched him. He hasn't slipped a bit. I still think he's one of the best two-way centermen in the game. So he obviously can come back. I think he probably will. I think he's probably still hungry. He's got a window with Marchand and Pastrnak that they have a pretty good team. And going forward, I think he'd probably want to give it another go. But that's just my thought. And you could ask me. I still want to play. If someone will give me a contract, I'll jump out there. So I'm probably the wrong guy to ask.
Hal, enjoyed it as always. Great job. Another great season. You and Pete, and enjoy your summer. We'll talk down the road. Talk soon.
I miss you guys terribly. I won't lie to you. I miss it. Well, I've been in mourning for the last week.
Well, we miss you too, and we always appreciate the laughs. And, man, keep those ice cream examples coming, man. It gets me excited.
Shame on me for not using a shake. You know?
It's all in the same family. It's good.
Yeah,
it's all good. How right, Gill, thanks, everybody. Guys. All right, Skillsy. Always a pleasure having him on. I agree. I think Bergeron's coming back too. He said he's either coming back to the Bruins or retiring. I think he's still got he's got more in the tank. He's back, but that's just – my two cents. We'll come back. More DDC next.